Off the Ball. GAA.
It takes its toll on the body, it takes its toll on the mind, but again, it's probably the depth and strength of teams that will come to the fore over the next 14 days. And that's also important. It's not what you wish you'd had, it's what you have at the moment.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Good evening and welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Coming up tonight, we're going to be speaking to Mick Dawson, former Leinster CEO from 7:30. He stepped down at the end of the 2022 season, obviously oversaw an amazing couple of decades at Leinster Rugby. He was in charge since 2001. He would have worked quite a bit with a number of the protagonists that have been in the news lately. Would have been instrumental in signing James Lowe, in appointing Leo Cullen to the head coach role. So it'll be interesting to get his thoughts on recent developments at the province from 7:30. From 8 o'clock then, we're getting Conor Myler, former Tyrone footballer, All-Ireland winner at Tyrone, into studio. It is All-Ireland quarter-final weekend. A couple of real great fixtures in that list. You've got Galway against Dublin. Particularly interested to talk to Conor Myler about Kerry versus Tyrone. It brings back memories not only of last year, but of 2021, the COVID game, as it is known, and Conor Myler's marking job of Paulie Clifford on that occasion, which paved the way for All-Ireland glory for the Red Hand that year. From 9 o'clock until 10 o'clock then, the football show, as always, is coming up. We'll be joined this evening by Paul Lambert, former Scotland midfielder. He would have played in the 1998 group stage game against Brazil. Of course, tonight at 11 p.m, Brazil and Scotland once ahead Loch Orns in the FIFA World Cup group stage. Our number is 087-9180-180, and you can use that number to send us a WhatsApp message. Eve Conway will be bringing you the news round very shortly. Eve, how are you doing?
I'm all good now.
And Arthur O'Dea is here as well. Arthur, how are you keeping?
Flying.
This final round of World Cup fixtures, they get underway now in the about 56 minutes time. You've got Group B getting us up and running this evening, where you've got the Switzerland, Canada, Bosnia, Qatar group, and then you've got the Scotland group, as I mentioned, later on at 11 p.m. and then in the middle of the night is the group that we could have been in, the Mexico group, basically. So we'll start to get a greater picture over what's actually at stake here, who is going to play who. The one thing we can say for certain, and maybe something that we haven't actually thought about too much in the equation here, is the rest factor. So, for example, when it comes to Canada or Switzerland tonight, when they play each other, we don't know who they're necessarily going to be up against in the next round. But, for example, if you were to be the winner of your group, you wouldn't be playing again until Friday, July the 3rd. Whereas if you come second in your group, you're going to be playing again this coming Sunday. So that's an extra 4 days of rest if you win your group. Now, of course, that rest gets wiped out on the other side of your to the last 16. But it's just a little factor maybe that hasn't been overly discussed.
That is interesting. Gee, I didn't know it was that stark. I suppose it would have to be, yeah.
I presume Group B is a bit of an anomaly on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's at the further reaches of the entire list. But yeah, it's a hell of a difference.
Do you think they do much forward planning in terms of like thinking too far ahead with that? I presume someone has to, but I wonder in the day-to-day, like, are they just next game? Not to be too cliched about it, but I wonder.
Yeah.
Do you risk, not even when you have, like, for all intents and purposes, a dead rubber, I just wonder, do you risk missing something if you're stepping outside the moment at all? Or do you risk kind of jeopardising anything down the line? Like, I'd love to know. I'd love to know how they approach it. Like, they obviously all know, and they'll have even down to the point of having like logistics teams that have to prepare everything and get it ready for the transport wherever you're going. But I wonder with the teams, like, are they as locked in for this round three as they would have been for 1 and 2?
I'd say they're well aware of the big picture. Like, when you look at the game that's kicking off at 8 o'clock tonight, Switzerland versus Canada being a head-to-head for top spot, there's a good chance that Jesse Marsh is playing Alphonso Davies tonight, starting him tonight if they're on 0 points, if they're on 3 points. But absolutely no chance he's getting risked in that starting 11 tonight because they're already through.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. I just wonder, is some of it, can you be too smart for your own good in terms of planning ahead? Because it is kind of, I know it's cheesy, but like, it does feel like all these games, and it kind of comes into sight with all the goals records and stuff we've been talking about. Like, they all matter. Mm-hmm. To some degree, and you kind of wonder, I do wonder if we're sometimes a bit like not fully up to speed on the sports science with like, so what does it actually, what difference does it make if you play 30 minutes here instead of 60 or 90 minutes? Like, does that actually have a tangible difference? Are you able to make that up in recovery time? Do you just adapt training for the days after? Because I often wonder with things like, you know, the way it would always happen in the FA Cup, like even where City playing Salford or someone during the season when they bet them by an enormous number. And it's like, there's a lot of starting players in there. It's like, why on earth are you there? It's like, what are you doing there? Like, because it makes no sense from a logistical point of view, just why'd you risk them? But I just wonder with that, are these guys just built differently now that they're just built to sustain game after game after game after game? Mm. I am curious. I don't have the answers to it, obviously.
No, and I certainly don't. Is there a part of play here where you're trying to give the fans what they want? Like, put out your first choice team if it's, you know, Manchester City in an FA Cup game, or like, hasn't Mo Salah played one or two dead rubber Champions League games at the end of group stages?
Yeah. Is it even a case as well of players wanting to play as many World Cup games as you want? If you're rested for a game that might technically be a dead rubber game, you're still, that's one less World Cup game you'll have played in your career.
Definitely.
I do think about it. It's funny, I think back, because obviously it happens to a great degree. Like, you think of the 2016 game, the third game we'd play against Italy. And it was an Italy team rather than the Italy team, you know, where it was like, so it obviously, and that was, I remember that was stark. Did they was it a complete change? It was double figures nearly.
That was great.
Yeah, which does kind of probably play into exactly, I'd say on this one, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. It's like, the one thing is, you just cannot figure out for the life of you, for example, what is the better path? What's the better next fixture? Never mind the path. I can't get my head around the round of 32. Never mind the path that goes on beyond it. But like, even just for these two teams in the 8 o'clock tonight, what is the better round of 32 game for them? So if you were to lose tonight and finish second in Group B, you'd then be playing the Group A runners up, which is our group, which is whoever's not Mexico. So South Korea or Czechia,
okay,
or South Africa. It can't be South Africa really at this point, can it? So one of the other two would be, South Africa can get there actually.
Yeah, they drew.
But yeah, exactly. Whereas the winning of the group just gives you a bit of an alphabet soup. So your Group B winners is either, is the third place team of Group E, F, G, I, or J. Which could be anything from Belgium to Sweden to Cabo Verde to Senegal. You know, like, yeah. I mean, are they arguably just as good as South Korea? Like, probably. Like, it's just very hard because you talk about the bigger picture thing and how aware players are and teams are of this. It's just impossible to figure out. You almost have to block all that noise out because it's so confusing. The incentive is so indistinct.
I think so. I think you'd tear your hair out. That's what I kind of, the fearful thing about being too clever about it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, no one's ever lost the World Cup winning games. I don't want to be too like old man about it, but like, just win the games. Go keep trying winning. And I don't think, because even in this one especially, it's like, I suppose it depends how high your aspirations are, but I was trying to look at it earlier on and I was like, I think they're on course, depending on how they finish, you're probably likely to have Mexico and England in the last 16 in the Azteca, I think I'm right on that, or whatever. Like, it was a pretty straightforward thing, depending
because
on...
Because that Sol Campbell clip went viral and everybody's kind of now knows. Well, I mean, people are kicking Sol Campbell because they were going through the possible path for England in Sky Sports News, and it was Mexico, possible last 16. And he was like, is that a way? And the presenter was like, yeah. But obviously he was asking, is it in Mexico, or is it in USA, or is it in Canada? Yeah. But of course, easy punching bag for the internet.
He's done that. He's had a bad one before, though, didn't he?
He had a bad one, yes. In terms of going through the brackets before. So people like to hop on a meme.
Ah, he is, yeah. Fair play to him coming in and doing it again. God knows, he must have heard about it.
Brave man. Right, let's get into this evening's news round. Eve, you are starting with the World Cup.
Yes, I am. So tonight sees the final round of fixtures in Group B and C, with no side technically securing automatic qualification to the knockout stages yet. Canada can top Group B by avoiding defeat against Switzerland at 8 p.m. this evening, while Switzerland need a victory to leapfrog the Canadians. Qatar and Bosnia and Herzegovina also face each other at 8 p.m, with each side knowing that a defeat means direct elimination. And then from 11 p.m, Scotland can advance to the knockout stages of the World Cup for the first time if they avoid a defeat to Brazil. Captain Andy Robertson has stressed that Scotland need to be switched on at all times as they face Brazil.
Brazil have got unbelievable players all over the pitch, but you know, their front line's pretty special. They've got players that can hurt you in any moment. And it's up to us at the back to try and be switched on at all times. I think defensively as a whole unit, as a whole group, we've been, you know, good the last two games, apart from, you know, we probably didn't start the game, the last game, as well as we could have, and we switched off just for 1 second and we got punished. So I think that was a lesson to us, that we can't switch off at any point in this tournament, and I think that's no different against Brazil. The players they've got on the wings, the players they've got through the middle are full of quality, full of, you know, they can hurt you at any moment, and I think we always have to be wary of that as a whole team. And but hopefully we've got players up the other end of the pitch that can do the same, and, you know, hopefully we can ask them questions as well.
Yeah, we'll be speaking to Paul Lambert on Scotland a little bit later on. We'll also be getting memories of his clash with Brazil in 1998. Kind of mixed messages coming out around Brazil at the moment. I do think a draw against Morocco is not a bad result. I think Morocco are kind of outside contenders for this World Cup, much like they were 4 years ago, did what they had to do against Haiti. Some suggestion that Neymar might be in with a shout of actually starting tonight for Brazil. I'm not quite sure, should that fill the Brazilians with more confidence or give the Scots a bit of a fill-up of hope?
Yeah, jeez, I wonder when is the last time I saw Neymar play. Like, I have no idea. I don't know how long he's been out of the picture. Obviously, he left PSG to go to Brazil, didn't he? That was his last. I'm not putting anyone on the spot. I'm just trying to think it through.
He went to the Middle East. Went to Saudi Arabia.
Okay, but is he back in Brazil now?
Yeah.
So, I don't know when the last time I saw him play. I have no idea whatsoever what he's like anymore.
It's bad when you were looking yesterday at the kind of superstars that are at this World Cup. So you have Messi, who's still kind of so successful so long into his career. Then you've Haaland and Mbappe, and then Ronaldo scoring two again yesterday. And then Neymar's completely disappeared from any of these conversations.
So, God almighty, you think how high were his highs. So who would he be starting instead of Rafinha? Is it Rafinha out? Is that the thing? Because obviously he went off injured the last day. I'm not sure if he's out. Sorry, again, I'm putting you on the spot. I could have looked this up myself. But I'm guessing, so it'll obviously, Vinicius will still play. He'll play off the left.
Yeah, like, so conflicting reports. Rafinha himself said, I will do everything in my power. But Ancelotti has essentially everything within his power to play again at the World Cup. But Ancelotti's essentially ruled him out of this game. So I think it's very unlikely he's going to play tonight. And then Neymar is ready for 90 minutes, is what Ancelotti said.
Wow, okay, without going on at all in the first two games. Okay, so then presumably it's some mix of Vinicius, Cunha, he's bound to play, and Neymar. I mean, there's a lot of, I suppose dynamism there is. There's maybe not an awful lot of energy in that six with the three in midfield, presuming it's going to be Casemiro, Bruno again, and Paqueta. Jeez, I mean, it's one of those things where it could be beautiful or it could be absolutely devastatingly poor. I watched both their games, and I do think the Morocco thing was a little bit overblown, because it's one of those weird ones where, like, geez, Morocco are really good.
They're really good, yeah.
And then the same thing was like, oh, how could Brazil only be drawn? It's like, these aren't a serious team. So, like, and they, like, the Vinicius goal was superb. Like, it was, yeah, anyway. And then against Haiti, they were kind of, it was clearly just the level was too stark.
There's big suggestions and like a big clamour, I should say, for Endrick to start for Brazil.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a series of memes going around about how much Carlo Ancelotti hates him by not actually putting him into the starting team at any stage. And
any favourites?
Said it again.
Any favourites?
Any? What do you mean? Any favourite memes?
Yeah.
I there was like there was one video which seems to be like a new meme format of a man who's like standing on a rope bridge and it's so turbulent and the man just never falls off, and it's like Carlo Ancelotti hanging on to his belief that Endrick should not be starting in this Brazil team at this point. But maybe this is his time, maybe it's the perfect opportunity for him. But it seems that he kind of even rates Rayan from Bournemouth ahead of Endrick at this point. So going to be a fascinating team sheet. It's an 11 o'clock kickoff. Shortly before 9 p.m, I presume we'll have those team sheets. Where are you going to next, Steve?
I'm going back to last night. So the overnight fixtures in the World Cup saw plenty of action in Group L and Group K. So Panama have officially been eliminated after losing 1-0 to Croatia in the 12 a.m. kickoff, while Colombia have qualified for the round of 32 following their 1-0 win over the Democratic Republic of the Congo in the 3 a.m. game. And then earlier yesterday evening, England were held to a 0-0 draw by Ghana, who knew that 4 points in the group stage would likely be enough to qualify them for the knockout stages. And after the match, England manager Thomas Tuchel had this to say about countries sitting back and maybe being content with playing for a draw.
Yeah, I mean, they got the last minute winner against Panama, and for them was clear 4 points is the target. Fair enough. I mean, they celebrated like a win after. So we were disappointed. So you see clearly the approach and the difference in the approach. And there's no complaints about it. It's just what it is. And like I said, they have a lot of quality. They have a lot of speed, and the physicality they brought into this match was difficult for us to break down. We didn't want to be naive from the start. The format is the format. We have more teams, we have more matches, of course. This is totally okay that they played this way. I think we hold them down to a minimum, so it's more positive than negative for me.
Apparently a Ghana player came off the pitch last night and was like, "What do you think of that, Arthur O'Dea?" Didn't even give him a puncher's chance yesterday.
No, there's a little bit of reverse engineering going into that, hopefully. But I did. They were awful against Panama. Now, then again, I mean, it was also quite similar. But I guess Panama were just as sort of insipid an attack as England were yesterday. Obviously, the game didn't follow that dynamic. But Ghana are clearly difficult to break down. But it was a poor game for the spectacle, I would have thought. I mean, there's always a bit of a vested interest with England that you need to watch just in case. But it was poor. Did you get to see it?
Yeah, we had it on here last night.
Second half,
on the phone, on the way home, more so. That first half didn't compel me to hang around the office at 10 p.m.
No.
To watch the second half of, but I did catch a lot of the closing stages. Of course, you had that penalty drama. Feels that it's extremely hard to get a penalty at this year's World Cup.
Incredibly difficult to get a penalty.
I quite like it. I like that after watching Premier League football all year, which seems to have been very eager to go to VAR and very eager to give fouls, that this year it just seems in this World Cup incredibly difficult to get anything given.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring back the physicality.
Physicality, yeah. I appreciate that, but the rules are the rules. You can't, like, that. The shout last night for Ghana was astonishing that it didn't get given. I initially I thought, oh, he must have been offside because the flag went up. He's like, no, that was for Semenyo because he gets up to take the shot, but he just chopped him down. And you even think how hard it was the day before for Lautaro Martinez to get that penalty against Austria. Two men chopped him down. It's like it took ages. It's like, well, yeah, okay, fine. We'll give it. Here you go. Enjoy yourself. You missed it. So I don't know. That's going to be the standard throughout the tournament, grand. But if it gets a little bit tetchy now when things come down to knockout games and a lot more people are watching, I don't know. I think there'd be a lot more outcry if that happened the other way around last night.
Joe the Irish Tiger has been in touch to say, hey lads, after watching the Scots, I really think they missed a trick leaving out Ollie McBurnie after the season he's just had. As a Hull City fan, I was slightly shocked that he was given the cold shoulder. They do have similar players in the squad, but McBurnie was directly involved in 25 goals and 40 appearances this season for us. So Ollie McBurnie, the Cole Palmer of the Scotland discourse this week. Do you think they have a chance tonight?
Of doing what?
Of winning. Beating Brazil. Fifth time playing them in the World Cup. Haven't beaten them.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't think it seems, I don't think it's as stark a possibility as maybe it would look on, like, in historical terms. You know what I mean? Like, they're probably a lot closer. They're probably closer now than they've ever been, realistically. And so I suppose if you go, like, on the basis of it, that Brazil and Morocco drew, Morocco bet Scotland 1-0. It's not beyond the realms of possibility that they could get a draw or win, but I'd struggle to see them win, because even in the Morocco game, there was something about that when Morocco scored and they dominated that whole game against Brazil right from the get-go. But almost once, like, Brazil were put really on the back foot, and when it's like, act or don't, they could. So I do think that would kind of happen again tonight. Even if Scotland got an advantage over them, I'd back them to score. There's just something about them. They just do that. They keep coming.
Our next story involves Arnie O'Gorman, Eve.
Yes, so it's being reported in the Irish Sun this evening that former Ireland international Áine Gorman is set to become the academy director at Bray Wanderers. Should she be appointed, she would be the first woman across the League of Ireland to hold such a position. Of course, last year it was announced that the FAI would receive €3 million annually for investment in the League of Ireland academy development, and this role was created in part due to this funding. O'Gorman has been involved with Bray since she took up a position as an assistant coach for the under 17 women's team in January of this year.
That's really interesting. I think we're going to start to see a few of these stories over the next few months once that funding actually starts to come through. And what is it, 2 or 3 full-time staff per academy, and a lot of them are going to be started from scratch. So great to see the IP of somebody like Áine O'Gorman being kept within the Irish system and being put into place at Bray Wanderers. Moving on to the golf now, this is a really big story, Eve.
Yeah, so Shane Lowry has parted ways with caddy Darren Reynolds. This comes after missing the cut at the US Open last week in New York. According to Gary Murphy on Golf Weekly today, Lowry will be returning to working with Dermot Byrne.
You've heard the news of Shane Lowry, have you? So he's finished with his caddy, Darren, and Dermot Byrne is back on the bag again this week. So Dermot caddied for Shane from, 2009 to 2016, and they finished up at the Open in Carnoustie. Because normally the major is a tough time for caddies if things aren't going according to plan. So, and Darren had a great innings, did 3 years with Shane, won a fistful of dollars and some. So, yeah, so it's a fresh start for Larry. So we'll see if he gets a bounce this week with Dermot on the back.
Yeah, he's obviously been an unbelievably frustrated figure at this point, Shane Lowry, after the season that he's had. Like, speaking to Golf Week, he said, we'll see what the plan is going forward. And when he was asked what his caddy arrangements might be for the rest of the season, he was like, no idea, really. And then he went on to say, golf is just not agreeing with me at the moment. I'm not enjoying it. I didn't have any fun this week. Like, when you go through the things that you can change, the brutal reality is that your caddy is something that you can change, particularly if you think that you've been in a rut for a period of time. And Dermot Keenan's been in touch with us on YouTube to say Shane needs to go back to his winning caddy from Portrush, Brian Beau Martin, to get back to winning ways, which feels like it might not be the worst shout. So I'd say the Dermot Byrne situation is a stopgap by the sounds of things.
Yeah, it's such a tempestuous kind of career, isn't it? I never heard it kind of actually mentioned in that way about kind of controlling the controllables. Like, what can you do? Because you're presumably sort of always in a way a self-improvement. You just need to act. It's like, I need to do something. And it's that, I'd say, geez, it must be a fierce fraught way of having to kind of operate, just having such a close-knit circle of people for such a highly mental game. I'd say the pressures, I'd love to, like, I've never heard what the pressures are like for, like, a pro golfer's family. Like, what's that like? Especially if they're in a bad space. Like, it must just be relentless.
Yeah, and you're taking that with you all the time, naturally. Thankfully, Shane Lowry's in such a good place given what he's already achieved in his in his career. But for somebody lower down the pecking order, seeing that play out would be absolutely brutal. Interesting, like, this is possibly something of a new development in his career, just the rotation of caddies. Like, looking at an interview that he did in 2023, he was talking about the fact that I've had 2 caddies my whole career and I've been on tour 14 years. I'm not exactly a caddy firer or anything. This is my 3rd caddy. And unfortunately, 3 years later, it's looking like another change. That he was speaking on that occasion after Brian Martin, or Bo, as he's affectionately known, was dispensed with, or certainly they went their separate ways. There was reports at the time that their relationship had been souring before that, but that also came off the back of a disappointing beginning to that season. So, yeah, it's an interesting one, and not in a good way for Shane Lowry this 2026 season so far. Where do you want to take us next, Eve?
I'm going to go to some ladies' football, because there's been fixture details announced for the quarterfinals of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. So champions from last year, Dublin, will face Cork at Parnell Park on Saturday, the 4th of July at 7:30. But first up that day, Armagh and Kildare will meet at the Athletic Grounds from 1:45. And then Kerry and Meath will start at 5:15 at Austin Stack Park in Tralee. And then the last of the quarterfinals is an all-Connacht clash between Galway and Mayo on Sunday the 5th in Tuam at 5:45.
Now then, on to some boxing.
Yeah, so it was a first career defeat for Crocker. Lewis Crocker lost his IBF welterweight title to Liam Parrow in Brisbane. All three judges' scorecards read 115 to 113 in favour of the Australian, who was convicted of first career defeat on the Belfast boxer. He had a strong finish to the bout, but couldn't close the gap opened up by Parrow in the earlier rounds. And now with this being a mandatory defence, a rematch is viewed as unlikely.
And finally then, we have news of a new Olympic grant.
We do. So this is interesting. The International Olympic Committee has today announced a Fit for the Future Olympian grant of $10,000. So every athlete at the Olympic Games is eligible for this grant to support their sporting career or career transition. $140 million will be set aside for this at each Olympic Games. And the most recent Winter Olympians are the first group who can apply. It will not be available to any athlete who commits an anti-doping violation or violates the IOC Code of Ethics, the conditions of participation or the Olympic Charter.
Is that enough to stop you from going to the enhanced games? $10,000.
Well, I was trying to think of how many like of the golfers will apply for it. Well, I'm not going to leave it on the table.
Apparently, if you waive your rights to the grant, you can kind of put it forward to the pot for next year's Olympians.
Okay, okay. Still interested. Still interested. I know. Your golfers, your I suppose.
Your basketballers is
your basketballers.
Is LeBron taking that 10K?
Yeah, your footballers. I wonder, God, I'd love to know how much would 10 grand register in LeBron's life? what's the equivalent?
It's on the back of his sofa, probably.
Yeah.
Like 10 grand. Is that walking around money of a normal day?
It feels like it, yeah. I'd say it barely even registers. Like, it wouldn't even be an expensive night out. It'd just be like, what did you get up to last night? Quiet night in, 10K.
You know, when you check your account, like, and you're looking through and you're like, you're seeing the amount that gone out. It's like, what was that for? It's like, I'd love to know what that number would have to be to get his, what was that for?
Yeah, cancelling subscriptions left, right and centre. LeBron spending too much. All in the games, being in touch to say Carlos Queiroz now has 8 clean sheets in 15 World Cup matches. Which is impressive. Certainly is one of the most boring managers to ever take on a sideline in the World Cup, I'd say. But still a fixture of the World Cup.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
still a fixture.
Strange when he's gone.
Yeah. So a couple of 8 o'clock kickoffs, as we have mentioned, Switzerland versus Canada, Bosnia and Herzegovina against Qatar to wrap up Group B, and then 11 o'clock, Morocco against Haiti, Scotland against Brazil, and then the 2 a.m. games are South Africa versus South Korea and Czechia taking on Mexico. The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 ml tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.